The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning. Israel, of course, very, very familiar with the use of speech and hate speech as a way to incite violence.
You know, as I was listening to you speaking, and I was listening to people's perspectives on the song "Kill the Boer." Well, of course, for us, when people chant that infamous chant "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," for us, that is a call to genocide, because that is a call for the destruction or the end of the state of Israel, and it's something that we hear spoken about in the BDS movement, which kind of disguises themselves or markets themselves, very, very clever marketers they are, as a social justice movement with the impetus of, you know, freeing the oppressed Palestinians, but at what cost? At the cost of annihilating another people? So yeah, I think we have to be very aware of words and incitement and exactly what they mean.
And speaking of which, we wanted to chat about Iran. Iran has not exactly held back on their speech. I mean, they've been very clear about razing Tel Aviv to the ground, about destroying the destroying Israel. And despite that, it seems to be a move to conclude the deal with them. How's Israel feeling about this?
Well, understandably, we are not terribly excited about this. And Israel's position is very clear. We're not against a deal. We're against this particular deal, because as our alternate Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said, as our current Prime Minister Yair Lapid said, as the head of Mossad Daniel Barnea has said, as our Defense Minister Benny Gantz has said, as our leader of the opposition, former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said, as our generals have said, so many times, this deal is a catastrophe. All it seeks to do is put $250 billion, I mean, that is a staggering amount of money, into the coffers of the Iranian regime, making it more possible for them to carry out terror attacks, and not just against the state of Israel through its proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or through its steady attempts using Syria as a launch pad, or through its own intentions using, as you just so correctly said, words of incitement. We see the Ayatollah still on Twitter. It absolutely baffles me how they continue to give this man a platform, calling for the eradication of the Jewish state, calling the state of Israel a cancer that must be wiped off the face of the earth, backing that up with its nuclear programming and the enriching of centrifuges. And sorry, but when you parade your big missiles through the streets of Tehran and your proxies do the same in the streets of Gaza, there is no doubt about it that their nuclear program is not an alternative for electricity. We are concerned, and make no mistake, as our head of the Mossad said last night, this deal is a strategic disaster for the region. And Israel has been quite emphatic that we must be and will be able to defend ourselves on our own and ensure by any means necessary that Iran will not be able to go nuclear.
There was a tremendous criticism last time of the deal because it limited it to nuclear. And it didn't talk about the fact that they could continue with this arms production. And it didn't talk about their funding of global terror at all. Do we have any sense if these types of things have been included this time round? Or is it still simply about the so-called nuclear arms race?
Well, we're concerned about that. We're concerned about the fact that there'll be concessions to end sanctions against Iran. And of course, we're pretty dumbfounded that nobody seems to listen when we talk about the reach of Iranian terror. I mean, we just have to go back to the United States a couple of weeks ago when that 30-year-old fatwa against author Salman Rushdie was carried out with a stabbing attack you know, only by the grace of a higher power is the man not dead, stabbed multiple times. And we've seen the ramifications of that and the threat against other Iranian dissidents whose lives have been threatened or they have been attacked. You know, Israel, which has superior intelligence and unfortunately the experience with dealing with this, we look around our own region and we see the concerns of other countries in our region as well, our Abrahamic brothers and sisters. You know, as much as we want to sing Kumbaya and say everything's all about peace and normalization, a lot of the motivation is forming an alliance against the threat of a nuclear Iran.
Absolutely, and this is really going to be something, because the concern here, of course, is that does this mean that Israel has to go it alone? And certainly Israel hasn't made any, given any undertaking that they won't deal with it, that that they are going to stand back and just let this deal happen. It certainly seems as though they're trying their best to stop the deal, but I would imagine if they have to deal with it in their own way, then they will.
And we've seen Israel already dealing with it the way that we customarily do deal with a threat, the daring, like full of chutzpah missions into Iran to gain that intelligence, the strikes on the IRGC's convoys of weapons through Syria, or the use of Iranian sites in Syria to launch attacks against Israel, and the rumors that we had several F-35 enter Iranian airspace earlier this week. And of course, the training exercises with many of our allies, make no mistake, you know, that is an intentional message to Iran, that even though we are prepared to go it alone and we can manage to go it alone and we're not scared of going it alone, we do have some formidable allies and don't test us.
Very frightening, and one does get the sense that this is heading towards some form of crisis or some form of tipping point. Another conversation I wanted to have with you is just to get an update. Israeli kids are meant to go back to school next week. I know that earlier this week there was talk of strikes, there was talk of delays. What is the latest here?
Well, unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be an end to the strike. It is predicted that teachers will probably still be, excuse me, those furballs really on strike for the first day of school. I mean, there are parents here absolutely desperate to get their kids back to school. There are kids wanting to start that school year. You know, the last 2 years have been incredibly disruptive all around the world to education for children. And we know that the finance ministry this week came up with an offer for new teachers, and that pretty much was acceptable. But what about veteran teachers? You know, these are the teachers that many feel should be getting significant increases, should be looked after, and it is felt that they were largely ignored during these negotiations. I mean, they're very, very intense negotiations. They have been ongoing for over a month. There are calls to restructure the education system significantly, and there are complaints from teachers that they're not getting paid enough but are expected to work longer hours. And of course, there are many, many issues with our education system. You know, it's not all equal for all sectors of society. We have our more religious societies, the Haredi, that really fall behind in terms of education. Discipline in many of the schools is absolutely atrocious and often comes under the microscope for this. And there is a massive, massive call to completely overhaul the education system. You know, our fastest growing sector is the Haredi sector, and it is believed that the system there is a ticking time bomb as well. So real calls for an overhaul of our education system and to pay our teachers. And I'm sure this is a situation that teachers all around the world face, they are not paid adequately or respectfully for the extraordinary job that they do.
What's interesting to me is that there's been a shift, that for the first time this week, Anthony Reich was very vocal about, and his exact words were, the Israeli education system is broken. You're speaking about some of the, you're saying that there's this need for an overhaul of the Israeli education system. Has something changed? Because these conversations in terms of strikes have been going on for years. I made the flippant comment to Anthony earlier in the week, well, what's news? You know, there's every 1st of September, there's a teacher strike in Israel. We speak about this year upon year. What's changed, do you think, that has made people say, hold on, it's enough. We need to relook at it because something is not working?
Well, I think that a large harbinger of this is the COVID crisis. Is that because so many children have now fallen behind, it's exposed the
weaknesses
in the education system. You know, I think the pandemic made us have a look at a lot of systems, not just education, a lot of systems around the world. Yeah. Are they necessarily working? We had to take stock. And one of the concerns is that kids spent a tremendous time at home, isolated from their classmates, not getting the adequate attention that they deserve. And these chasms, the emotional, the psychological toll has grown. The education system has been exposed to have a lot of fault lines. And these need to be repaired. And one way to repair them is by making sure that teachers are paid properly so that we don't have these intermittent strikes happening all the time. We've had strikes even post the pandemic when kids have gone back to school, leading to a lot of frustrations with children. And, you know, it's not just the emotional scars they have to deal with or the social scars. It's now the huge gaps in their education. And parents and teachers have just had enough.
Mm, really very interesting. Finally, Palestinian bid for UN membership. And I see that the United States has been quite clear that this is not the route that they want the Palestinian Authority to go.
No, you know, we've seen the Palestinians in recent years launch their campaign of lawfare in various international bodies. If it's not attempts to take Israel to the ICC, it's attempts to go to the United Nations and have themselves recognized as a nation state, which basically would negate any kind of negotiated peace between Israel and the Palestinians. In fact, that kind of act removes Israel as a party in the conflict that still needs to be resolved. So they are hoping that they will appeal to nation states that are members of the United Nations. The Palestinians are not, are non-member members, if that or if that makes any sense. They're a non-member state, which gives them like de facto status, but it doesn't make them, it doesn't grant them full rights. They can sign treaties, they can participate, but it doesn't grant them full rights that member states have. Now, the US and other states have been adamant, and Germany was adamant last week, you know, when Abbas made those appalling comments, that the time is not ripe, and that if you go this route, you absolutely negate two states negotiated between those two conflicting parties.
Very, very interesting, and no doubt a story that we will keep following. It's just gone 8 o'clock, Rolien Marks. Thank you as always. We'll catch you next week with the latest news from Israel.